I'd like to call the December 6, 2017, meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order. Let the record show that all but Sophie Hahn are here so far. And we have one speaker card in tonight. Did anybody else want to put a speaker card in? All right, Debbie Carton, you're up to talk to us.
Where would you like me to speak for the purposes of...
There's no mic at the...
All of these, these mics will pick up anything in this general area.
So why don't we turn this mic around, Debbie, and why don't you come up and stand? Is that comfortable to you?
Sure.
And sort of that way we can all
see.
Sure,
it's on, though.
Sophie is here.
I don't think this is on.
It's just recording, actually.
Just for recording. This is for
you. Okay.
Well, I can bellow plenty loud.
Okay.
Thank you.
With the best of them.
My name is Debbie Carton. I am a nearly 30-year employee of the Public Library. I currently work as an arts and music librarian. I've been in that department for nearly 9 years. I'm here tonight to talk about the fact that we are losing a wonderful employee at the end of the year. There are quite a few excellent long-time employees who will be retiring, but I wish to speak about one in particular, and that's Greg McCain. He's been our cataloging librarian for a very long time. He's been the supervisor of that unit, and he's been a superlative employee. We want to thank him for his years of dedicated service to the library. We will miss his expertise, his dedication, his knowledge, and especially his holistic approach to librarianship. Greg was one of many technical services people who looked forward to and actively worked on public service desks, because it's that holistic approach to librarianship that enables us to provide better service. I wanted to point out that as we look towards a replacement for Greg McCain, it's imperative that we really think about replacing him with someone who has that level of expertise in cataloging. Not just for the obvious reasons of you're losing an excellent cataloger, you want to get another one, but because in the interim, much of the technical services work has been outsourced to Baker and Taylor. Items are supposed to arrive shelf ready, not needing any tweaking, labeled, everything good, ready to go. In actual fact, a fair amount of the items that come in have errors in their cataloging and their labeling. It requires the eye and the experience and knowledge of an experienced cataloging librarian to catch these errors and fix them. And that is something that Greg and Shiok have been doing ever since Baker and Taylor outsourcing began. So another employee just announced her intention to leave at the end of this week, and that made me think about the importance of the exit interview. A long time habit that has been somewhat neglected of late. It's really great to talk to people as they leave, because sometimes people will be more forthright. They have nothing to lose by speaking up about an institution that they really care about, as Greg clearly does. It's really important that we get a chance to talk to those dedicated employees about why they're leaving, what they see as ways to improve their and our beloved library, and to get their input before it's gone. February of this year, a librarian resigned. She asked for an exit interview with the then director and was denied one. I really hope that that does not happen this time, and the employees who are leaving will have a chance to have an exit interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Which of the unions do we have here this evening?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like you're up.
All right. That's what you need. This is the one I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
I'm Andrea Malarkey. I am a shop steward with Local 1021 Community Services Unit and a teen librarian here at Victoria Hall in South Ridge. Thank you for having me again. I have very brief comments tonight. There are two things on your agenda that I wanted to speak to. The first is consent item D regarding your meeting policy and the proposal for sharing of this time that I'm speaking during today. And just to acknowledge our gratitude for this creative solution to what has been sort of a cumbersome process. And I think it demonstrates a real creative thinking on your part, and I appreciate your looking for ways to engage more deeply, and we're grateful for that, so thank you. If there's a way, and I don't know what that would look like, that we might be able to have our comments or a written statement or something elucidated in the minutes rather than simply saying that somebody stood up and spoke, that would be useful too. At this point, if somebody wants to hear what I spoke about or what Sarah or another union representative might have spoken about, they have to find the recording, look for it online, download it, and as we know, digital literacies are not shared broadly across all audiences, and having a paper trail in a more traditional format might make that more accessible to others. So if you could consider that, that would be lovely as well. But thank you for what it is so far. The other item that I wanted to speak to is action item B regarding the organizational review. I've come a couple times now to tell you how excited the union members that I hear from are about this item and taking a really big picture look at the review. I think it's wonderful. Seeing on page 2 of the report things like examination of roles, responsibilities, and accountabilities is fantastic. Evaluation of communication norms and practices, also a big item that we've been looking forward to having more guidance on, so that's terrific. Identification of training and or organizational development needs and opportunities, also great. That's one of the things that has always been a real pleasure about working at Berkeley Public Library, is there always has been so much support for training and educational opportunities. Taking a deeper dive at that is really fantastic also, so we're really delighted to see that in there. There was one piece that I didn't see mentioned specifically and would love to see mentioned if possible, and that would be diversity and inclusion as part of the training and organizational development needs. I think this is an important topic in libraries, in communities, in the nation, and a timely opportunity for us here at Berkeley Public Library as we look at our organization to take a look at that piece as well. But generally speaking, very supportive of the whole concept.
Great.
That's what I'm saying, so thank you.
Board members actually can ask questions of those speaking, and Sophie has a question.
Sure.
Yeah, if you could just clarify when you were saying that you'd like a written record.
Yeah.
Are you thinking that you would submit things in writing and that you would want them included, or were you suggesting that we would sort of transcribe comments?
I'm thinking, I'm just putting it out there as an open thing. Certainly, if you would be open to having a written statement included in the minutes, I would be happy to write up my comments in advance and hand them to you. I know that there have been concerns about that in the past, so if it's more comfortable to you to have a short synopsis of the topics I covered or that some other union steward might cover, that would also meet our needs. But it, you know, it's, I don't need the minutes to be transcription, obviously, but just a little bit more detail about what was said. Because it's related to items on the agenda, that could be a great many things.
So I appreciate that, because as we look at the bylaws, you know, that's going to be sort of part of the bylaws is, you know, how do we handle the, you know, statements that are made or given. I even counsel is not transcribed.
Right.
And to, unless there's a lawsuit or something, in which case they actually transcribe the recordings. But I don't imagine that there would be the ability to do it without a written submission.
Sure.
So I don't know what our protocols are right now for written submissions, but I guess my suggestion would be that at a minimum, it would need to be written.
I just think that's something that we're certainly open to. I know that that's been a problem in the past, so I just want to express a general broad willingness to do whatever.
We have
all right,
policy,
Judy
right?
also has a question.
I appreciate your comment, and I understand from your position you would like things in the record for the record.
Mm-hmm.
However, being a public entity, I'm a bit concerned about possible conflicts of interest since this is a union, and some of the issues that you may raise, particularly regarding personnel and the like, I don't know how that would fit, how it plays out farther down the road when it comes to negotiation, grievances, and the like.
Sure.
Particularly as we had tonight, an individual talks about another individual employee and circumstances regarding exit interviews. Exit interviews are part of a personnel process, and I get concerned when those kinds of things come here, and it could pose conflicts of interest, grievance, particularly process-oriented concerns. So I'm just wondering if the director may want to touch base with the city attorney's office to get clarification regarding statements from the union, the content of those statements, and when it is or is not appropriate. Because tonight, I just get concerned. An exit interview is part of a personnel process.
And I just want to clarify, in the union sort of speaking time, mm-hmm. we are limited to speaking on items that are on your agenda. So I won't be bringing anything to you that you have not already agendized mm-hmm. during this portion of the program. The public speaking comment can be about any item, whether on the agenda or not, and I understand that that may need to be treated differently. So with that caveat in mind, again, I'm broadly open to whatever might work and just appreciate your willingness to consider the possibility. Okay.
I think in the interest of the meeting and the sort of rules about it, we'll cut it there. We'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting, I think, and have a full discussion of it there.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Comments from the Library Board of Trustees. I'd actually like to take a moment of privilege tonight and begin by saying that this is Abigail Franklin's last meeting with us. She's been on the board for 8 years. Those of you who can count up know that's well over 100 public meetings and private meetings as well. She was president of the BOLT for 2 years and did all the agenda planning and agendizing and all of that, meeting with the directors and whatnot. And I know she took a great leadership role in endeavoring to help our directors become the good directors that they could be. I'm not sure how much they listened to her, as they should have. But I know how dedicated she's been to the library and to fairness and to having this board run smoothly. So I personally want to thank her. And I'd like to turn it over to Elliot for a moment.
I'd like to just say a few words. You know, thinking about 8 years, it's 2017, so that, do you remember, was it in December 2009 that you...
I think I came on January.
So let's think about the Berkeley Public Library since then. We have entirely new facilities.
We do.
That was a huge amount of work for both staff, the directors, and the board. And really, we should celebrate the role that all those boards played in enabling our service levels to go up. This facility, our other three branches, and upkeep of Central Library. Eight years means a lot of different board members whom you've worked with, and that's quite a contribution to maintaining leadership in that role. And in my experience working with you just for the not even a year, great listening skills, really really dedicated, and it's been really important for staff, for the community that you've contributed in this way. And I really want to thank you. We have a small
group. Oh, my. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, really. So thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I'll thank you, Diane, for your generous comments and Elliot for yours. And it's been a real honor to serve the city of Berkeley and the library and work with so many wonderful people, both who work at the library and who work for the library and who are just members of the community. I've met a lot of wonderful people. I've made a lot of great friends. And because of the efforts of so many other people, I think we've been able to do some really good work. And a lot of it's been very hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think good work often is hard work. And I think we've accomplished a lot. And I'm very hopeful that when I roll off and Amy Roth comes and joins the fray, that the board will, I think the board is at its best when it works collaboratively, when it honors difference, and it's respectful of all members, and it's not, it's separate from politics. And I think that's really important, and I hope that it can move forward in that fashion, because we've got a great institution, and let's make it even better. So, and also, Elliot, I do want to thank you. I know you kind of stepped in somewhat, you know, strange circumstances, but I think you're doing just a wonderful job, and the pleasure has been mine working with you. So, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sophie.
General comments?
General comments.
Okay, wonderful. Well, first of all, I also would like to thank Abigail for her incredible service. And I've known her both as a board member and outside of the board and the community. Mm-hmm. And your integrity is precedes you, follows you. And I think we're all the better for it. So I appreciate the opportunity to serve with you in this capacity, and I'm very grateful for what those many roles you've played on this board. I wanted to just report a little bit about the bylaws subcommittee. We do have a date. To refresh people's memory, we're going to, Judy Hunt and I are the bylaws subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, the library has not had bylaws. So we rely on this kind of weird patchwork of the charter, a couple of policies that have been passed over the years, and then all the other holes are either filled in with the city's commission manual, which was not really designed for this type of a board, or the Brown Act, the Robert's Rules of Order. And it's really, I think, it probably has not been helpful to not have really well thought through bylaws. And so Judy and I are going to undertake that with public input. So our first meeting, official notice and agenda haven't been published yet, but I wanted to let folks know at the first opportunity in case they'd like to come and participate. It's going to be on December 12, which is a week from today, at noon, in the community room at West Branch, not here at the Trejo Pittman branch, but at West Branch on University. Wow, they've got the wrong address on here, my gosh. They have it on Kittredge.
It's Tuesday.
I will correct that.
And this
is it Tuesday.
December
12th? From yesterday.
Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't have it written down. I was just guessing that it was a Wednesday. So Tuesday, December 12th at noon in the community meeting room at the West Branch Library. And we haven't finalized the agenda, but I think it'll probably be what has been floating around. Judy's already had her input on it. But we'll have public comment. It's a public meeting. Opening comments from subcommittee members. A review of existing BOLT policies and procedures. So we'll just take a look at the charter and the meeting policies that are and seek to understand what's already in place. And then we're going to basically agree on the source materials that we'll use, right? There's an infinite number of other bylaws that one could look at. And I thought it was important for us to decide what materials we want to work from so that we aren't pulling from 30 different things. Maybe we'll pull from 6 or 7. And there, we will bring some recommendations, and then if people have other source materials they want to bring for Judy and myself to consider in this process, that would be the time to do it. And then we're going to establish a timeline for the work of the subcommittee. And that'll be what we'll do at our first meeting. When we sketched out, it looks to me like to get all the public comment, have time to write things and digest things, that the whole process might take a full year, maybe even longer, just to make sure that, you know, it comes before BOLT twice, etc. So that's an overview of very preliminary thoughts about how we'll get those bylaws done. So thank you very much.
Thank you. John?
Yes, I would also like to thank Abigail Franklin and acknowledge your work here on both. 8 years, I know, is a long time. And you've seen a lot and accomplished a lot, and you should be proud of the work you've done here. Thank you. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I want to wish everyone happy and fulfilling and safe holidays. Whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, it's a break. Consider it winter break if you don't celebrate anything. And enjoy them. Because, you know, we all need that break and we all are entitled to it. So we'll be back with you in January for another Bolt meeting. But between now and then, have a safe and fulfilling holiday break, whatever it is. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anything further, Abby?
No, thank you.
Judy?
Well, I'd like to start with regular trustee comments and then mm-hmm. I'll get to Abigail. First, I'd like to encourage everyone. I think as we talk about working collaboratively as a library, we also need to work collaboratively with the resources in Berkeley. And I noted this was brought to my attention at church recently. The Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive on Center Street has a wonderful exhibit regarding the written word. So I think that would be something the library may want to look at. Sometimes the museum has pieces that they will loan a library as part of exhibits. And since it's so close on Center Street, I was just thinking that might be a partnership we may want to look at, particularly as we move forward in developing our teen program. They have other interesting exhibits, Global Lives Project, Gordon Parks, Veronica DeJesus, Martin Wong, and Miyoko Ito. They have exhibits from those artists. So I just mentioned that because that seems like a very rich resource that can enlarge and support our current programming. Next, I wanted to highlight, November was Native American, Indian, and Alaskan Heritage Month. Mm-hmm. I did not see, I'm not saying that it wasn't present because I don't go to all the branches, but hopefully that kind of program, as we observe these important remembrances, so to speak, does Central also have that kind of program? And I know branches do it because I talked in the past about visiting the branches. But I hope Central and the branches have some consistent programming throughout the system. So I just lift that up. The other thing, I think it's very important that we highlight staff and commend staff. There were four of us here for the Taria Hall Pittman signage celebration here at this branch. What was it, November 18th or 19th? I've forgotten the exact date.
18th.
But anyway, it was wonderful to see the staff here at this branch. Heather, I think,
is Heather the supervising librarian? Yeah, she's the supervising librarian.
Okay, I'm still learning the positions and who does what. But it was as if you were coming to her home. She was very welcoming, open. It was just like, you know, going to somebody's home for Thanksgiving. The hospitality, and not to mention, I don't want to forget Brianna and Joy. Quiet, but being attentive to guests as well as patrons. And I took pictures, particularly of the children at the computers and whatnot. So I just wanted to commend staff here. Please pass the word that it's good to see staff in action and doing a nice job. Lastly, Abigail, I'm going to miss your positive energy. Oh. As old folks used to say, you're a little piece of leather, but you're well put together. And, you know,
wait a second, let's get that one.
We're going to transcribe that.
you're feisty, and you're positive, you're a good listener, but most of all, you're fair-minded, you embrace new ideas, new opportunities. And one of the things I appreciate about you so much, you are the same person in private as you are in public. And sometimes that's not what we always see. in folks publicly. And I really want to thank you especially for your loyalty to the library. I've heard you say so many times, is that why we're here? And I think that's our mission, that's our charge as trustees. This is a community board, and you have a nice way of reminding us of that, and I thank you. And I hope that you will be available as trustee emeritus.
Here it comes. Okay.
We're not going to let you go because we know you're still in Berkeley. So when we call upon you, I hope you'll be open and willing because this institutional knowledge, and I think all of us now are new, so we will need your institutional knowledge about some things that we just don't know because we're all, I think we're all here, what, just a year? I'm just a couple of months.
Sophie's the senior member, so, 1 year and 1 month.
1 year and 1 month. So she's the toddler and the rest of us are the
newborn.
I wasn't going to go to newborn, but okay. But anyway, thank you so much. Thank and you. I appreciate it and I hope to get to know you better as a friend in Berkeley.
Thank you so much.
That was
really
helpful. All right. We'll move on to the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull any of the items?
You know, I wanted to move something to consent from action, the meeting room policy. But unless people want that to be on action, I was wanting to move that to consent.
Meeting Let's room, do it.
Move okay. Policy to move to consent is fine.
Okay.
Meeting room?
Yep.
You want to move everything there, Abigail?
Sure, yeah. I'll move the consent calendar with the inclusion of the meeting room policy.
I can second that with the addition.
Okay.
All right, it has been moved and seconded that the meeting room policy be added to the consent policy.
Oh, did you move the consent calendar or just?
We're going to move the meeting room to it.
Oh, you moved the whole
calendar. I know, I moved the whole consent calendar.
Never mind, let's move the whole consent calendar. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign.
I just wanted to point something out about one of the items on the consent calendar, if I may.
Is this, go right ahead.
There is a description of the license agreement between the library and the Berkeley Public Library Foundation. And, it discusses the Central Library Improvement Program with a commitment of $389,000. And the foundation has pointed out that they've committed over $600,000.
So
I just wanted to clarify that.
Should we amend that?
Thank you.
Let's just move that. Okay, thank you very much for that. That brings us then to item B on the consent calendar, which is providing the acting library director with recommendations for the organizational review. And I believe at our last meeting, we agreed that each person would take 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, something like that, to talk about their priorities for the review. Is that the recollection of the board?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
So we'll go through and do that, and then we'll have a general discussion. Does that seem okay?
Yeah.
All right, Judy, this is your item. Do you want to start?
Okay, I prepared some things.
Are we timing?
Yeah.
Why don't you sign it set for three, and that'll just sort of keep us going.
Yeah. So what'll happen is, if you watch that thing over there, the green light will go, and then it'll go to yellow at 30 seconds.
Oh, where is that? This little box by Elliot.
I don't know if you can see it.
Okay. And sorry, it'll go to yellow at 1, letting you know you have 1 minute left.
Okay.
And I'll need to go when you start talking.
Okay. Does everyone have it?
Just give me a second.
Does everyone have it? I prepared something in writing for a reference point simply because I think it's easier to follow and remember. For the sake of time, I'd like to focus on the last page, page 3. The first pages are background information. And what I've tried to do is give a... Does everyone have a copy? And I'll go through it very quickly. These are some of the things I hope in the process we can drill down and get to. So I didn't want to get into finite detail here, because we're discussing. But what are some of the challenges facing the current library leadership? How can the library be responsive to community needs and become a stable, viable organization and evolve into a 21st century innovative institution? How can the library develop the capacity to measure success in meeting the expectations and needs of diverse communities? And here I've defined diverse communities to include but not limited to age level programming. That would be from infants through older adults. Innovative programs to increase and promote lifelong learning and literacy among and across socioeconomic, ethnic, and cultural groups. And by that I mean, like I brought forth the museum that cuts across cultural groups so that we can learn about and from and through each other. And how does the perception of the library affect utilization of library services and community support for the library? What constitutes a public and a productive and healthy work environment? Now, what I'd like to do, the first question has to do with leadership. The next two questions have to do with operations. The fourth question has to do with communication, and that would be verbal, nonverbal, the like. And the last question has to do with organizational culture. How can we have a more productive, healthy work environment? In other words, how are conflicts handled? How are issues resolved, and so on and so forth. But these are just the broad kinds of questions, kinds of issues, and the kind of focus. Leadership, operations, communication, and organizational culture. And the culture would be both inside the library and outside. Okay? Because perception does, in fact, impact how people utilize your service. If you're not welcoming, who's going to come? You know, that's just a quick example. So are there any questions or anything else? I didn't want to...
Perfect. That was impressive.
Okay.
All right. Okay. See if you can beat that.
I'm going to be shorter. My approach to this was I tried to take a very, very kind of high-level view of kind of things. So I have one question. And I thought in answering this one question, we would kind of get at a lot of things that Judy and I'm sure other people are bringing up. But I thought we should have one sort of overarching question that I think would tease out other matters that would relate very much to it. And this is my question. How do we attract and retain a library director who will successfully lead the Berkeley Public Library?
Say it again.
And I have a written, but I only have one copy. How do we attract and retain a library director who will successfully lead the Berkeley Public Library? I think the answer to that question would get to a lot of other issues that are important, but I thought that should be the overarching question. And I'm done.
You beat that.
Yeah.
You got 2 minutes.
That's an example.
Perfect.
Sophie?
Oh, okay. So I actually kind of approached a little differently. I looked at the list that we have in our packet, which has a list of things that we've thrown out, sort of the big basket in the past, and I tried to think about what the best, I didn't think there was anything in here that wasn't worthwhile, but it was also way too many things. So I tried to parse them out in terms of what I thought the best locus or vehicle for evaluating or reviewing them was. So I don't know if people have that, but starting from the beginning, the first was assessment of organizational structure, and then I jumped down to the examining the role of executive management, middle management, unit supervisors, and staff. And I really felt that that is actually primarily the role of the executive director, and I don't feel the need to bring an outside consultant in for that work. I think that work needs to be done, but I didn't feel it was the piece that we should bring in someone from the outside to do. I skipped over the second bullet point, which is evaluation of governance, the type of library board, how it functions, its role and responsibilities to the community. And I think, Judy, in our bylaws committee, we're going to end up having to answer most of those questions, and we'll have public input. And so I really saw the bylaws process as a really good opportunity to do a lot of the work and thinking and discussing on the governance question. So jumping down to evaluation of operational policies, procedures and systems, and I would say also in my mind, some of the things that Judy just put forward, what are the challenges, how can we be responsive to community needs and a stable, viable organization, and questions of capacity. In my mind, that's part of strategic planning. And I know that a strategic planning process is imminent. It may be that for that strategic plan this time, we want to bring in a strategic planning person to help with that. But I viewed that as the function of updating the strategic plan. So what was left for me that I felt I would want to spend the public's dollars to bring in an outside expert at this time? What's left for me are the evaluation of communication norms and practices, identification of opportunities for strengthening internal and external communications, so the culture questions and the communications questions, and the second being the identifying of training and organizational development needs, that whole bullet point. And I would add to that Judy's diversity and inclusion. So the only piece that I am sort of passionate about bringing in an outside organizational development or organizational behavior consultant for is that piece that I just articulated, the communication, the culture, and the training and development of the organization.
Perfect.
So, sorry, sort of cutting and pasting.
Thanks. John?
Thank you. I appreciate my colleagues' comments here tonight and the reasoning behind their comments. And there were things here I absolutely agree with. Judy's list of five items, the final one, what constitutes a productive and healthy work environment. We're talking about culture. We're talking about the internal culture, how it relates to work and work relationships. I think that's of key importance to me as we move forward. I think Abigail's question about how do we attract and retain a successful director, let's parse that. We're all going to have somewhat different definitions of the word successful,
yes,
perhaps, but I think that's a really good place to start, because I think that's part of the purpose of this evaluation. For me, it's going to help us inform the type of person we're looking for, the type of director we're looking for. So I absolutely agree with that. How we parse that word successful, again, is going to be part of the discussion. I agree with Sophie, absolutely. The scope of work, I wanted to cull this down a bit, and I couldn't agree more, because the two things I checked off were evaluation of communication norms and practices and identification of training and organizational development needs and opportunities. Those are the two things I really keyed in on. I think the other things are important, and I think we can touch on those, but to narrow our scope of work, I think those are the two important ones for me. I would add, again, as has been pointed out, the diversity and inclusion from both board members and from our union. So we should look at that. Retention of staff, promotion of staff, all of those issues I think we need to look at. I'm not clear about all of those issues, practices yet. But I really do want to kind of narrow down the scope of work. Otherwise, it's going to be a long time in the making, a long time in the discussion, and we may not get what we want. So I think we have to define what we want. And those are the key points for me.
again, I'm really going to point to organizational culture, morale, staff satisfaction. I think we need to do surveys of staff, patrons, and management. I think we need to identify the patron experience, their ease of use, their sensitivity of the cultural sensitivity of the organization, all those issues. Yeah, that's part of what I want to look at as well.
Great. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I went back and looked at our first discussion of the evaluation process on September 9th, and at that meeting, Judy Hunt urged us to look at library leadership changes and instability. And Rachel Anderson urged Bull to pursue an outside audit to discover why there has been no ongoing stable library leadership. I agree with Abby. I think our question is, how do we hire a third library director in a row successfully this time? I think we have questions about the hiring process, or at least I do. Were Bolt and library staff clear on the key characteristics that they wanted in a director? Did Bolt and staff agree on that? Did our recruitment brochure reflect those key characteristics? Were the right stakeholders involved in the search? Did the onboarding and training of the director reflect and reinforce our priorities? Did Bolt have a clear evaluation process and timeline? And did it actually do regular evaluations? Before hiring the next library director, I think we need to have a clear shared vision of what we want in a director, to have a training program in place, to know the values that our library has for this director, mm-hmm. and to have an evaluation process that allows for input from folks at many levels and that builds a path of success for our next director. Along with that, I think we have to look at the communication processes. I totally agree with the emphasis on that. I think we have to be clear what the communication channels are between Bolt and the library director, between Bolt and the staff, between the library director and staff. I think we have to know if we all value communication and consensus building, and we should know what the ways are for communicating before decisions are made and after decisions are made. I think if we look at the hiring process and the communication process, we'll be well on our way to hiring a successful director next time, and I think that's our goal.
Sophie. Good question. Thank
Go.
You. So if I recall, we were making these comments so that the executive director could have some clarity about our ideas.
Yeah.
And our direction.
But it was, he's going to take all that, digest
yeah.
it, layer on his own judgments and thoughts, and make a proposal to us. Is that still?
Yes,
I just wanted
yes,
to clarify.
Right. Which maybe then leads to maybe we don't go much longer on this topic now. Is
except
it?
Right, no, that was
reason.
It. I was just clarifying.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean your comments. I mean that we
no, that was
our
it.
Comments.
Right.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
it. We're done. We've
yeah.
had all our input, and now he's going
to. I think it's a good idea to ask Elliot what else do they need from us.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
yeah,
you.
Sure. Good point, John.
My feeling is this is the third meeting where we've discussed this. It is a lot of content, and I think each of you very articulately clarified after a couple months of really thinking and reflecting on this, where you would like it to go. It will be a job.
Yes.
And I do have to make some decisions. You're not in entire agreement, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in entire agreement. That provides me an opportunity to understand the range of possibilities. I definitely am hearing this concept from at least two of you and probably all of you to some degree, that there's an interest in ensuring that our organizational culture can support successful library outcome operations and retain a director who can be successful. And I'm definitely also hearing a strong interest in organizational culture and communication improvement. And so I think my job will be figure out how to reflect both of those interests.
Great. Thanks, Ellen.
Very good.
Any last final words on that? Okay, thanks. Let's move right on to information reports. Dennis wasn't able to be with us at the last meeting. There was a budget report there, but he's here this evening, and he's willing to answer any questions that anybody may have had about those budget presentations. Does any question sort of pop to mind? Dennis, I had one in the where you discussed the current situation and its effects right on the front page of the library tax fund. It said at the end of the first quarter, revenues of the library tax fund had dropped 17.1%. Is that sort of a normal thing that happens quarterly? Or
no, it's just a matter of timing.
It's just a matter of timing,
right.
Yeah.
We still expect revenues this year to meet what was set in the budget, and no promises, because it's been submitted to the county, and we'll see if it comes through. But it's actually going to be higher.
Oh, good.
Is the projection right now.
Great. Good. Other questions from anybody? Okay. We're going to let you off easy tonight. Oh, Sophie. Sophie's got a hard question.
So on attachment two, if I understood this, I have to tell you I have a little trouble understanding this chart because there's a lot of, a lot of code words. But it's a half-year report. Right? It's a first quarter report, and we've spent 20% of our allocated budget. Well, the total. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's just personnel. I would love just a little commentary on where we are.
We are actually in a very good spot. What happens on this chart, and it, I know it's very abbreviated,
right?
But the actuals here are saying actuals plus the encumbrances. The encumbrances, it hasn't really been spent, but it's been put aside because there's an obligation or there's an expectation. So in the text, I typically will say excluding encumbrances. But on this abbreviated table, it's there are columns that go off to the right, which are the encumbrances. And what would have to be done is that the encumbrances would be netted up to the actual spending, which I refer to in the text. But if I were to include the encumbrances plus the original budget and the revised budget, the RSV column, those are all broken down. They have the detail behind them by fund. And I can't show that degree of detail. It would be too confusing. So I can always provide it if need be, or I can answer any questions and come back with any detail. But that's part of the shortcoming stuff.
Okay. So it's what we've already dispersed, plus services and materials that we have purchased or been rendered for which we have not yet either paid an invoice or been invoiced.
Or here's a real quick. We know that, say, PG&E is roughly $300,000 a year. Or another one is janitorial service. Costs the library about $200,000 a year. We put that money all aside. We obviously haven't spent that much money in the first 3 months, but we lock it up, and that would be the encumbrance. So we might have $50,000 of, say, janitorial that was expended in these first 3 months, but it's because the encumbrances are included, it's really pulling out $200,000 in these tables.
Okay. The city budget folks use the word encumbrance differently, and I think that was my confusion. They use it for... if the services have already been rendered or or the item has already been received, but we simply haven't paid for it. Versus money that's set aside for a purpose, the services may not have been rendered yet, and the item has not been ordered or delivered yet. So,
if there's an obligation, whether contractual, then to get a purchase order cut by the city, you must prove to them that all the funds are there. So those funds, we try to pull it out only, if it's a multi-year contract, we try to pull out only the funds that we expect from that particular fiscal year, this particular fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we would encumber.
Okay.
We wouldn't encumber the full contract beyond this period.
All right. Thank you very much.
I would like to just reiterate that Dennis is happy to sit down with any of us and really go through the budget item by item. So I think as we begin to educate ourselves, we need to avail ourselves of that service. And he's great at explaining it. I can attest to that.
In the future, if it didn't take up too much time, I would appreciate actually having a presentation.
Yeah, I think we've just...
I was expecting tonight, so I didn't realize that we were just to come with questions.
Right.
But I would have happily done individual questions, after.
I think
in the future, if we have the time, I would love for it to be a presentation.
Great, we will.
That'd be
Judy?
Dennis, is it possible that you present at a quarterly point for us? Because finance, for me, it's a lot to ingest at one time. So is it possible that you do a quarterly kind of presentation? Because if I get it in quarters, I can understand the process a little better as we move along. That's just my learning style.
Historically, I've always provided a quarterly report. I understand from what Trustee Han has just asked.
Uh-huh.
Is that in addition to the report that there be a presentation?
I think we're all new.
And in the past, you've done presentations, which have been great.
Right, for budget, biennial budget process.
Right.
When we've really only done the presentations.
Mm. And that.
But we can do a few, I could do a few quarterly presentations.
Yeah. Or biennial, whatever.
Well, biennial is coming up in the next
few months.
So I'll do that.
Okay, great.
And we'll be going into, then I'll do another one 6 months down the road. We'll do a closing and then also the FY19 project.
Because if we take it in sequence, then when we come to the actual budget, it's much easier for me to understand.
For budget workshop sake, what month are we looking at?
Typically, we only do the budget workshops during the biennial process.
Mid-year.
Well, we'll have a mid-year update.
The mid-year, we have done a presentation for it. I have no mid-year report, and I included with the mid-year
And are we going to be asked to make new allocations or cuts at mid-year? I mean, is that also a normal process? So, for example, if last year we didn't spend as much as we projected, or if we had salary savings or other savings, when do we see what those are and have the opportunity to allocate them?
I'm in the process of doing a mid-year report right now. Typically on the mid-year report, if there are, say, increased salary savings or projects that are deferred or delayed for whatever process, and say we're not forced to actually put it into the budget, to reflect it in the budget, because that's an exercise, a financial exercise for mid-year. But I have reduced the budget in prior years if it's a material amount. So, if it's $1 million, I'll put it in the budget and pull it out because.
So who allocates the savings and the excess income that wasn't projected?
It goes to the, as part of the process, we have to reflect it to the city as in the fiscal year end fund balance. They want to know what the revised amount is.
But it's not the council that's allocating it, right?
No, it doesn't get allocated, it just goes down to the fund balance, and they want to know what the change in the fund balance from the savings are. But whether it actually gets reflected in the budget is really up to, I guess, we would decide. Right? We don't need to, but we could.
Judy has a question.
Yeah, I think I wanted to differentiate. Clarity is a big thing for me, particularly when it comes to money. That's just one of my things. In terms of allocations, we are a community board. We approve the budget, as I understand. However, the director makes the decision in terms of how the funds are to be spent in terms of programming, staffing, staff modules, foresight, forecasting in terms of how many staff you may need for the team program and that sort of thing. Is that the general process in terms of who allocates what? I think that decision is by the director. It comes to the board discusses, and then we approve. Is that how it works?
The board sets the priorities for the biennial.
There you go. The board sets priorities.
Right. And the board will clarify what the priorities mean.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how the budget gets formulated, I take the direction from him. He takes those priorities, he interprets them for me, he provides me instruction, along with his dialogue with the other managers, staff,
good.
And the workshops.
Good. In your next presentation to us, could you just have that up as part of the
priorities?
Yeah. I think it's very important. Board sets priorities. Director establishes how those priorities play out in terms of where money goes. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
To actually put together the budget.
Okay. That's very important because we're all new, and, for adult learning, we need to hear things. I know I need to hear things at least two or three times before I get it. That's just me. Maybe everybody else gets it a lot quicker. But if you could put that in writing PowerPoint or something?
Yeah.
A slide? Yeah, because that way I have a reference point to go back to as we go through the process. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I appreciate your patience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any questions of Elliot in the monthly library director's report?
Nope, I thought it was great.
Great. Down to agenda building.
Wait a minute.
Hold on one sec.
Hold on.
Just review.
Sophie, go.
Well, it's not a question so much as just an appreciation. Under the Berkeley Public Library customer service philosophy.
That's where I was.
I just thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, I echo that.
Really, really beautifully articulated, and in some ways speaks to the communications issues. This is about the library communicating with and interacting with the public. But I think it articulates norms that we all need to use and that are also probably relevant to the internal working of the libraries. I think it's great. I assume this was developed by staff, right?
It emanated out of a whole bunch of different groups of people. I'm going to wait a minute.
Yeah. I'd love to know a little more about it. Because especially if it was processed, then it's awesome.
So there had been discussions prior to my coming on the interest in looking at how other libraries have developed customer service philosophies. And when I arrived, I think in March or April, we had discussions at our library council, which is supervisors who meet on a monthly. At that point, it was supervisors, branch supervisors, and others who met on a monthly basis. In discussing that with staff, at those, I realized it would be, and there are all these other discussions about customer service, an interest in sort of strengthening customer service from each of the unit teams, the branch meetings. And so we developed a customer service planning team that consisted of staff members from a wide array of branches at various levels, librarians, paraprofessionals, supervisors, managers, who met over, I think, a 3 or 4 month period to hash out ideas, came up with some really great ideas. They brought that to an all-staff meeting, asked for input. And they used the Luma Institute, a tool developed at the Luma Institute that was a product of the foundation having funded staff training in this, got some more input at the all-staff meeting. We then heard that input, brought it back to our library council, which we had, in the meantime, expanded to include a wider array of staff. So this has gone through all these different sources, back to our management team where we condensed and brought different ideas together for something that we thought would be useful. The utility is the most important thing. And just to let you know, the next steps are really to look at training opportunities. So right now we're in discussion with staff looking at this product, what training needs they feel could enable them to successfully enact this philosophy. Because it's just a philosophy, and until we get training, it's not.
Good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We're on our way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I appreciate that.
Yes. Okay. Judy?
How are we going to institutionalize this? Will this be posted at every branch, including Central?
Yes.
And how are we going to help staff internalize it so that it becomes a spirit of hospitality?
It's a great question, and there are some steps we're starting, and then there are some things where we're going to have to become creative. And the first step is to post it, which we've made laminated signs to be posted to each of the different units, and we distributed those a couple days ago. So it's around the same time that we posted this, we started really the packet. We are institutionalizing it, and we've discussed at our library council. The next steps having to do with discussions about training needs. So like I said, staff are discussing it in thinking about how we enact this, what kind of services. Another thing that's happening is that all staff, and I think I mentioned this, are being assigned, all staff who work with the public are being assigned to watch these videos that the California State Library created with IMLS funds and in tandem with LA Public Library and LA County Public Library that are trainings on interacting with people with mental illness in a customer service approach, rather than simply as a problem.
Yeah,
identifying people with mental illness as our community, as community members, it's really, really interesting to hear the response of our staff, who often first think of such people in terms of their problematic behavior, rather than the fact that we provide services that are vital to these people's lives, while also sometimes having to deal with the challenges. And so it was interesting. We discussed it today at our joint labor management meeting, and people brought up those trainings as well in relationship to it. So people are starting to see the relationship between some of our challenging interactions and these philosophies already, and I'm hoping to hear more from the supervisors at our next library council about what those discussions have been, so that we can incorporate a training plan. I am considering hiring trainers based upon what input I get from the staff. And if we do so, I would like to do is do a kind of a test run with some staff so that they can improve, so that they can then create a perfected training that we can then do with all staff.
Oh,
that's
wonderful.
So that's
good.
Kind of the idea of
institutionalized. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Agenda building? Anybody have any? John?
Yes, thank you. I think a couple of things have been mentioned.
The idea of formalizing or documenting, well, it was union comments into some kind of archive or format that is more readily accessible. However, I'm not sure that we can want to just do that with union comments and leave aside public comment. So I think we've already agreed we're going to have a discussion about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should discuss it about minutes.
Minutes.
That's well, it's minutes. Yeah. Right, exactly. The second thing, I wanted to bring up this idea of the exit interview. First of all, this has come up in other venues I've been in, other organizations and boards. It's not the board's place or purview to generate exit interviews. And I think there is what I'm asking for maybe is a little information from our acting director as to what city policy and HR actually, what are the practices in the city? And does the library...
I'll have to look into that.
Right. I actually think there are some practices already in place. And I think we should take a look at that.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
I got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Sophia?
Yeah, I very much appreciate that this question of what gets recorded where and how is an important question for us to look at, but there already is provision for how it should be done in the commissioner's manual, which we should be following, and so I think I was just starting to look real quickly, and I think we ought to be operating according to those rules, because right now those are the rules we have. But as to developing a policy about it, that's actually going to be part of our bylaws process.
Right.
So that feels to me like the better place to do it, unless people feel strongly that that needs to be a standalone policy.
Well, I think since we don't know, it would be good to look at what the commission manual says about that. And
I might be able to get that in the next minute. But I guess I wasn't sure that we should have a policy forum on it before we do it in the context of the bylaws, assuming we're okay with what's in the manual. So that's it. I wanted to mention that there is something that we're supposed to be following already.
Right.
Certainly for written comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if it makes sense next time. Maybe it can be a suggested item.
Yeah. Let's at least look at the commissioner's manual together. All right. Judy?
I have one thing. It would be very helpful to me if in our agenda building, if we were sent a quick email standard when items are due to Elliot to be a part of the agenda and the packet. Sometimes it's helpful to say, just a quick reminder, email from Eve, Elliot needs items for the agenda by Monday at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Because we all are very, very busy, and I'm a deadline person, so I just need that to focus.
I think there are a couple, there is that, and this has come up, and I think at least one of you brought up the idea that if it's provided, if something is provided to the secretary by a certain date, it should be added. However, we also have the president and the vice president who meet with the director and discuss the agenda.
Right.
And depending, I'm a little, it's a little unclear to me whether or not...
Elliot, I think we could have the deadline for items be the same time as that meeting, though.
And we
could fold it into our discussion.
We could do that, which is a lot quicker
than
what we've been practicing,
which has
been more or less, I think, de facto a week prior, like basically the Tuesday before we put out the packet, which is on Wednesday.
Which is pretty good. No, let's fold it into the discussion.
So when we meet... when do we, what is the...
2 weeks plus 2 days before the meeting. So but we could send out the dates to the board members.
Yeah, so it's the third Monday, generally the third Monday.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I just got an email a couple of days, December 18th, I believe, for the meeting, for the agenda.
Yeah.
I believe.
That's correct, for the next meeting.
Yeah.
But we can send out
Because it is helpful to have some it is helpful to have that lead time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if I have questions or if there's something unclear,
yeah.
we can have enough time to
and in terms of process.
Sure.
You've heard from us tonight in terms of our issues, concerns regarding the review evaluation. At our next meeting, will you try to synthesize that and bring that forward to us for discussion?
I believe I can.
Okay.
The honest challenge right now is that we did announce, and I can say this, that we did announce that we're hiring a new library services manager who's starting on January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a good amount of preparation in order to enable us to have a good orientation for her and a good onboarding process. We haven't brought on a library services manager since
I came.
Yeah. So we really do. I do have a good amount of work that I can't count on anybody else to do right now.
Would February maybe make more sense? Just because the holidays as well.
It may, and I mean, I'd rather get it done.
Let's see what we can.
If we can do it, we'll do it. If we can't, okay. If that's okay with you all,
just clarity. That's all. Thank you.
All right. If there's nothing else for the good of the order, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Great.